Oh, great. Now there are more doctors in my texts, of course, about what this means for Mahomes after all it was a dislocated kneecap. I say all it was just a dislocated kneecap. Like I've had that before in an NFL game. Welcome back. Halfway through 12:05 on a Football Friday Fiesta. It is that time of a Friday. We welcome in somebody who, before we talk football, we need to talk about how he's currently doing. Jeremiah Searles joins us. Good afternoon. Give us the latest. You've had a busy week in the ER or the surgery room.
Yeah, I had a tendon repaired in my ankle on Wednesday morning. So now I'm just kind of trying to sit here and let the swelling go down, keep it elevated, and keep ahead of the pain, which is a little harder than I thought it was going to be.
Now, this surgery will allow you to continue your rehab to get back on the football field, correct?
Yeah, so what the surgery did is essentially just made it so I'm out for the rest of this year. My 2019 season is now over, but hopefully rehab and get back and kind of reassess as we go into the 2020 year and see what can happen.
All right, let's go back to Saturday night because you and
we have to.
Yeah, well, we have to go back before we can go forward because you're an important part of Saturday night. You got a good feel for that game. We talked before the game, and I think we were on the same page, and then somebody picked that piece of paper up after the first couple of drives and crumpled it up and threw it away. But you were on the field, but most importantly, after the game, you're on the field and you're giving encouragement to guys that are coming off the field. Some of them had deer in the headlight looks. Others had, whew, finally to the bye week. What was your vibe as that game unfolded and as that game came to an end when you're seeing guys that are headed to the locker room after a 34-7 loss to Minnesota that some, as the head coach said, were in, some were out?
Yeah, I mean, when I heard Scott's quote about that, I could definitely sense that on the sideline. I mean, you looked across the way there, and PJ's Fleck team was fired up. I mean, up and down the sidelines, the kind of energy I'm used to seeing from a Scott Frost team. And it just felt like there wasn't a lot of energy. I mean, the stadium was a lot of red, but not a ton of maroon. Honestly, I expected more energy to be brought to the stadium for them. I mean, that was a big game for them. So I think we didn't create our own energy, which you have to do when you go on the road. When you go on the road and you're maybe not in front of the 90,000 fans you have at home, or you're not in front of an Ohio State or some big crowd, you got to kind of bring your own energy and create your own energy. And I don't think we did a very good job with that. And Minnesota came out with a lot of energy and really just took it to us and zapped us of whatever energy we did have. And by halftime, it just felt like we were flat, man. And that was one of the more disappointing things. I'm all right if you get beat, but coming out flat, not playing with energy, especially for a coach, you know, that's given you everything, that disappointed me a little bit.
I think to win the West, you got to have an elite level defense. You got to win the line of scrimmage. And then on offense, you can't shoot yourself in the foot. So let's go to the middle part of that. Let's first start on offense. What did you see on the offensive line as that game unfolded through 34-7?
I think it all started with our pass protection was very poor. And that was surprising me. I mean, they have Blake Cash, who's a good player. He's an NFL talent. But, I mean, they didn't have a Chase Young. They don't have one of those guys off the edge that I thought was really going to wreck the game. And they were just getting pressure on us nonstop. And I think that was a big part of it. And then the other part was just the fact that we came up empty on those first few drives. I think those first few drives when we have a 5-minute drive to open the game and drive it 60 yards and then come away with nothing is pretty disheartening. And the problem with that was the penalties. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've talked about it since week one. Penalties are absolutely killing this offense. But, I mean, as far as the offensive line, they just wasn't a lot of movement in the run game. And I think that they physically just kind of got after us a little bit up front, which was disheartening to see. But I think they also understand that they can put 8-9 guys in the box and have that extra kind of hat in there because they're not really concerned about them throwing it over or us throwing it over their heads.
Now on defense, Minnesota runs for a huge crooked number, and they didn't really do anything complex. What were your thoughts on the defensive line, or in this case, probably the front seven against Minnesota's O-line?
I thought they did a really nice job of they kept us moving lateral. The strength of our defense is moving vertical. We're big, downhill, power, straight-ahead guys, and they knew, hey, if we can make those linebackers skate laterally and we can make those gaps a little bigger and make those gaps they have to cover a little wider, that we'll struggle. And that's what happened is they were moving the A-gap 3-4 yards to the left or the right, and they were still hitting the A-gap, but our linebackers were either behind or ahead, or because of some of the split action zone that they used behind the line of scrimmage, it really froze our linebackers' eyes just enough that they were able to really squeak through those holes. Our run fits were not good at all. I think physically our defense, we did a little bit better job than I initially assumed.
Mm-hmm.
We definitely had some times when we got rolled off the ball pretty good and double teams and we got taken out of our gaps. But the problem with a lot of it was we just were not gapped down. You mean if you go across and you look at it, you think, okay, D, B, or you count A, B, C, D on the other side. And there was times you're like, man, there's no one in the B gap or there's no one in the A gap. And that's the big runs were happening was when you just weren't gap sound.
So, you know, the next 2 weeks are the two poorest rushing offenses that Nebraska is going to see. Indiana and then Purdue is next to last in the country in rushing offense. But with that said, everybody is going to look at previous tape and they're going to look a lot at the Minnesota tape, and not everybody's built to do what Minnesota did. So if that's the case and you're trying to avert another Minnesota-type night doing, Jeremiah, what do you do this week to fix that if you are known for being a front seven that is better vertical than going side to side?
I think it's just reps. It's just reps at it, and you nailed it. I mean, we say it in the NFL all the time. It's the same in college. It's a copycat league. If guys see someone or see a scheme that has a lot of success against us, they're going to try and find which way they can put their own kind of spice and their own little wrinkle on it and say, okay, now we're going to do this. So it really just comes down to using your eyes and being disciplined, because it wasn't like a physical, like, oh, this technique. It was really just mentally, can you say, okay, no matter what formation they come out in, no matter what motion they use, we really just need to make sure that my A-gap is my A-gap. Mm-hmm. And I don't care how far it goes left or right. I have to stay true to my rules or else we're just going to keep getting gashed. And it's a pretty easy fix, obviously easier said than done. But the nice thing is it's not groundbreaking. It's what these guys have done since high school on. I mean, defense is just all about being gap sound.
Let's go back to the offensive line, because now you're halfway through, and I've labeled this week, do simple better. And we may see guys that do simple better get more opportunities. On that offensive line, to have them move forward with not knowing who's going to be the quarterback from week to week. Wandale Robinson might be on the shelf for a little bit longer. Who knows? And you don't know who else might emerge through the last five games of the season. With that offensive line up front, we talked about it, Jeremiah, I think every week, and how important it is to get that fivesome reps together. Well, now it's the month of August. It's seven games. They've gotten plenty of reps. If we're going to see any changes or some new faces, where do you think we might see that during the course of the last half of the season?
Yeah, I think Brock Bando actually did a really nice job when he had to go in there at left guard. I don't know if Hickson got hurt or if they just had to make a quick personnel change, but I thought he came in and gave us a little spark there.
Mm-hmm.
Thought he got some good movement in the run game. He's a tackle. If you're a tackle that plays guard, pass protection comes much more natural for you, because you get to play in a phone booth instead of all that space out there. So I thought he did a really nice job in that. But I think that's really what you're going to see. I mean, Bo is a pretty established guy. Farniak's a pretty established guy. And then Juergens is your growth project. So I think you can bring Bando into that left guard with a little bit of stability and let him and Hymus spend this bye week and then the week of prep kind of getting a flow and working together a little bit. I think those two could work really well together. Other than that, I think you're going to see just a lot more of the same. And you're just going to keep – I think you nailed it. You got to – we call it KISS, keep it simple, stupid. Like, you literally just keep it as simple as possible. Whatever you think is their best run plays, just run those plays. And the problem being, as Scott mentioned in his post-game press conference, is he's having to rely on scheme versus physicality in the run game. And that is not a way you can make a living, especially in the Big Ten.
I want to read you a quote that Scott had last night on his radio show, because now you're getting to know guys on this team, and not just as guys that are putting their hands in the dirt and what they're doing, as people and leaders. He said, one of the keys is it's hard to be a leader if guys don't want to follow. The majority of our team does, but maybe not everybody. The leaders need to continue to improve, and we need good teammates, not just good leaders. If you're a player, either you're one of those captains, a leader or not, when you hear your head coach say that, what comes to mind?
For me, you have to be a good follower in order to be a good teammate. You can only have so many captains, right? I mean, unless you're Minnesota, they have like 45 captains or whatever. That's a whole different story. But if you have captains, you cannot have people questioning the captains or having their own private little captains, their own little cliques. Mm. Like, you have to make sure that, like, one voice, one team, one heartbeat. Well, guess what? Those four captains are your voice, and you respect them. And as soon as, I think what he means is people are starting to say, well, he ain't doing this or he ain't doing that. That's where you start to get this little disconnect of, we need our leaders to lead, but you also need your leaders to play really well.
Yeah.
It's one thing if your leaders are getting up there and saying, hey, we got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this. And you look at them going, well, you're not doing your job. I mean, a guy that comes to mind is, I know Mo Berry is a very vocal leader, but he's got some bad couple last two games with some missed tackles. And so, I mean, there's going to be some guys that are looking at him like, Mo, if you want to get on us, man, like, I want to see your game elevate.
Mm-hmm.
And if your game elevates, well, then my game's going to elevate because I'm going to be chasing you. But the hard part is if you see a leader who's always constantly kind of vocally saying things and then his play is not matching that, it's hard as a teammate sometimes to be like, yeah, well, maybe it's time for me to step up and say something. And then you can get some controversy. So what he's saying is, if you're a leader, I need you to play well and I need you to bring guys along with you. If you're a teammate and a follower, hold those leaders accountable, but you also support them.
I'm absolutely with you about captains. You know, they have the loud voice, but an even louder voice on the field. And either one wasn't there on Saturday night, or some guys have had up and down seasons. I'm right there with you, 100% agreed. Because it's not only just, I mean, it's across the board in a business or on a sporting team. If the leaders or the captains that are designated aren't holding up their end of the bargain, it's just in our DNA, I guess, to kind of question.
Yeah, I mean, it's the strong will lead, right? I mean, mm-hmm. the wolves follow the strongest in the pack. I mean, it's very simple. You want to lead by someone who's pulling you along, and you want to chase them and only continue to make them better, which then makes you better. It's what's so hard when you do find a good leader. That's when you see the teams that are so successful, because those leaders, the coaches, don't even have to do anything with them. They just do it themselves.
Hey, one quick thing. And this is about Minnesota, because you got to see them in person. And, you know, we've seen them in this year where they're unbeaten and they go to Rutgers tomorrow. What did you like about what Minnesota did or what they're doing with their program? Because it looks to me, Jeremiah, everybody, you know, let's go back to the copycat. You take things from everybody. It looks like there's a little bit of what Nebraska's been successful in the past in, that Minnesota has tried to implement into their program, that we've seen other teams in this division do it as well.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me was they knew what they were good at, and whether it got stopped on first or second down, they just kept coming back to it. Like, even if they were like, okay, it didn't work this time, well, mm-hmm. we know we're good at this play, so we'll just keep calling it, and eventually it's going to pop. And that's when you saw they'd make go two, they might go three, and all of a sudden they break off an 18. Or they might go four or five, and all of a sudden there's a 50-yarder. And so the thing that I liked is that they just knew what they did well, and they stuck with it, to whereas I don't think as our offense, we don't know what we do well, so we're constantly trying to do something new. I mean, Scott doesn't have a play call that he goes, man, I know I can call that play three times in a row, and there's no chance that the defense can stop it all three times. And I think Minnesota was like, I know we can run this play three times in a row, and they might stop us once, they might stop us twice, but on the third time, we're getting it. And that's what I saw, and that's what you see a lot of power football teams do. I think back to the Baltimore Ravens when they won the Super Bowl, they just kept running it. They would just keep running it. They would keep wide zone, wide zone, wide zone, all of a sudden tight zone, cutback, touchdown. And so the physical football teams, the Terrell Davises with the Denver Broncos back in the day, even the Huskers, I mean, look at Wisconsin, Alabama. They do what they do super well, mm-hmm. and they don't care what the defense does. They know they can still run it against anything. And that's where Nebraska's offense has to get to, or else we're just going to keep trying to throw scheme after scheme. And then if we get out schemed, it's a minus play, and then we're really in trouble.
Great stuff as always. Even though you're just fresh off of surgery and you got the little guy to keep you busy and a great wife, we got the show coming up on Monday night, correct?
Nope. No show this week. I'm gonna put together some highlights from the shows and kind of upload them up on my YouTube. So no show this week, but we'll be back rocking and rolling next week.
We appreciate it. We'll talk to you next Friday, head of Indiana, Jeremiah. Get well.
Absolutely, buddy. Thank you for having me on.
That's Jeremiah Searles, budding star in our business. Just telling you. At Searles71_HSKR. You can follow him there. So no Monday Twitch show for Jeremiah. as you mentioned, will be back post Indiana. All right, 12:20. Have I told everyone yet, George? Correct me if I'm wrong. You kind of keep me in line. That Patrick Mahomes MRI just turned out to be a best case scenario.
I think you mentioned it one time.
Expected to miss three games. So here's what my texts look like from friends and fellow Chief fans.
Okay.
So there's a lot of doctors. WebMD is very accessible. I have gotten three screenshots of what I read earlier on WebMD. You can tell my friends don't even listen to the show. But I am getting this because next Sunday night, the Chiefs and the Packers play. It is the
facts.
Since I have, go to games at Arrowhead, it is one of the more difficult tickets to get a hold of.
Mm-hmm.
It's expensive. I mean, it's on the secondary market. You're going to spend, your kid's tuition.
Yep. Which is why I'll be in Omaha for it.
Well, I have a couple of friends that are going either this Sunday or the next Sunday because they play the Vikings, and they're really disappointed, and they're wondering if they should sell their tickets. And I'm like, you should sell your Chiefs fandom if you're doing that. You sound like a Bronco fan who booed their team and left the stadium early last night. I would, too.
I was just about to say, rightfully so.
I would, too, if I was a Bronco fan last night. Just saying. All right, 12:21. When we come back, more on what Jeremiah hit it out of the park about good leaders. When Monday rolls back around and there's media availability, who would you want to speak? When they speak and they talk about what the last week of Do Simple Better has been, you're like, yep, I can believe them. Or somebody that speaks and you're like, maybe let's just take a couple weeks off. We'll dive into that. Also, other additional thoughts on week 8 of the college football season. And tonight, the World Series could be set. If you think the Astros and all the shenanigans that are going on at Yankee Stadium, do you celebrate on the field at Yankee Stadium? Or do you get off the field as soon as possible, get to the clubhouse, and then go crazy? There was a bad heckler last night, but a good security staff last night at Yankee Stadium. I'll explain as we roll along till 2. It's the Gary Sharp Show on 1620 The Zone.